This is the Dumont Television Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Radio Dan Show with your host. It's me, Dan Delgado.
Radio Dan is not the brightest dude out there. I agree with you on that.
Yourself look like Radio Dan, and they can tell you what Radio Dan's going to say the next show because they already know what Radio Dan's going to say because they know the information. They know the information what Radio Dan's going to say before he says it.
I wanted to talk to Radio Dan, but he doesn't accept phone calls. I want to complain about that, first of all. So is it a radio show he wants to have or a chat room stuff? Because he spends way too much time entertaining people on the chat room than he does talking on the radio.
Next question to you. Do you know Radio Dan?
Radio Dan is right.
Radio Dan, he needs to get educated.
Oh, no, no, no. It was the Radio Dan Show. It's like one of the most popular radio shows ever.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. It is time once again for the Radio Dan Show. My name is Dan Delgado, and yes, you heard right. I am your host, and for the next hour or so, me and you and your dad and my dad will all get together on Father's Day and sit and chit-chat about movies and television and other life-altering issues. It's a fun little thing that I happen to do 5 nights a week, Sunday to Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, originating from the wonderment that is known as Talk Radio X. That's right. You can go ahead and tune into Talk Radio X and catch me. That's where I broadcast from. You can catch a bunch of other great shows on the station as well, such as the John Cameron Show, who was on just before me, and also, you know, Ray Rogers is on after me, and during the week it's Ed Till and Antebird and Jiggy and Tyler and all those guys. So anyway, first things first, though, happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there. Got a number of dads here on the station, so happy first Father's Day to Antebert, and also to my brother Eric, and let's see, who else is a father? Tyler Hollywood is a dad. He's having his, I want to say, like, 20th Father's Day, and also Dr. Rock is, I think, enjoying his second or third Father's Day, somewhere along those lines. Daryl of the Sir Daryl Radio Experience, another father that we have hanging around here. Let me see. Anybody else? Steve Learman, no. I don't know if Packer is. I don't think so. John Cameron is a child himself, so no, I don't think so. Yeah, I think I've covered everybody. Oh, of course, Stephanie and Greg. Greg partially defines himself as a parent. So I guess I should say happy Father's Day to that guy as well. So there you have it. Happy Father's Day, everybody at Talk Radio X. Happy Father's Day to you, everyone. Now, actually, you know, I was thinking about doing was calling my dad. I haven't talked to my dad today. Now, it's not so easy, by the way, to talk to that old man because he has decided to flee the United States and live like a king down in Nicaragua. So I was thinking about trying to call him. But I'm never quite sure of how to get in touch with him these days. It's not that easy to call somebody when they're living in another country, and you don't really know what number to call or any of these things. I mean, he calls me once in a while, and I think he has to go to on top of a mountain or something in order to do so. So I'm going to try this now. I don't think it's going to work, right? Let's see if I can call my father, and I can wish him a happy Father's Day, because I haven't done it, which... I know, that's pretty terrible. Try not to judge me too much on this. But like I said, he's not readily available to me, you know? So let's see, we're going to call this one number that I have for him, and we'll see if this works. It might just go right to a voicemail. It might not work at all, let me see. Calling out to my father,
At the subscriber's request, this phone does not accept incoming calls.
What the hell?
Message FL9.
Wow. Wow. How exciting is that? That's the kind of thing that if you were on the run, you might do something along those lines, you know? Okay. So that didn't work. I have another number for him. So let's try what the other number is and see if that works. Let's see. I'm just making this up as I'm going along, by the way, because I'm remembering my neglect in calling my dad today. It is Father's Day as I'm placing this call and doing this broadcast. Let's try this one. No guarantees this works either. It probably will not work. Dialing out. It is ringing, so let's see. And it's a very... Oh, apparently I've called his fax line. Okay, so that's not going to work out either. And I think I have one more. Let's try this, because I'm sure this is exciting stuff for everybody. So let's see. Hang on. See, this is why you don't want to move to Nicaragua. Unless, of course, you're trying to avoid people, then obviously that's the place to go. Well, all right, let's try this one. One last time.
You dialed is not in service.
Oh, there
Please
you go.
Please check the number and dial.
Okay. We gave it a shot. Now everybody knows. Now everybody knows that I did in earnest attempt to get in touch with my father. I did it publicly. So if he gives me a hard time about this, why don't you call me? I can tell him, Dad, I did, and I can prove it because four other people were listening the night that I did. But there you go. Okay. Now, with that out of the way, I can tell you about some of the other places that I broadcast on. Aside from Talk Radio X, for example, there is the All Digital Radio Network. There is 1650 in McKinney, Texas. Is that still around? It might not be. That might not even be accurate anymore. There is also 1500 AM, and that's in the funky, fresh town of... Yeah, that's over in Ohio, don't you know? I also should tell you about KJAG Radio and No Agenda Radio and the Detour Talk in Knoxville, Tennessee. And last but not least, SoFlow Radio right here in beautiful, fantabulous, wonderful South Florida. Love the SoFlow Radio. Love being here in South Florida. Now, with all of that said and done, all of that out of the way, now it's time for the far more important part of the program, and that's where I tell you how to get in touch with me. What you can do is pick up your phone and give me a call at 661-349-TALK. That number again is 661-349-8255. Go ahead and dial those digits, get yourself on the air, and you can have a chit-chat with me. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about movies, or television, or your father issues, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Or your father's influence on your movie watching. For example, I gravitated, I think, towards James Bond movies because my father was a fan of them. However, he did not like the Roger Moore Bond movies, and he would tell me, that guy's not really James Bond. And I would say, Dad, ABC has a Bond movie on tonight. You should watch it with me. Because you always want your dad to watch the crappy things that you watch with you. My daughter does this to me all the time. Dad, come sit and watch SpongeBob with me. Okay, I'll do it. Just so you're not in therapy or complaining about it years later. And so my dad would come by, and it would be The Spy Who Loved Me or Moonraker, and he would say, it's with the Saint? Oh, I'm not watching this. All right, the Saint, great. That's what he called Roger Moore. Roger Moore was the Saint to my dad. Sorry, Roger. You never pulled your weight with my father. I apologize for that. 661-349-TALK. That number again is 661-349-8255. Go ahead and dial those digits. Get yourself on the air. Blah, 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 blah. You can do it through Skype. Go ahead and Skype in. And the Skype line happens to be Talk Radio X. It's the ID that I'm using. It also has no spaces in there. No space between talk and radio. No space between radio and X. It's just all there. It's just all there for you to call in with. That's it. You look for it. There it is. You dial in. You're on the air. And the odds are you'll have good audio. It'll sound like you're here with me. Although, you might just kind of bug out for a second there. I called in to John Cameron. And by the way, more of you people need to be calling into the John Cameron Show. It's a fine show. He's a fine talk show host. I wish he had more Twitter followers, but I haven't been able to change any of that yet. Haven't been able to change any of that business yet. Maybe it's the whole Sunday night time slot. Who's listening on a Sunday night? I mean, I'm looking in the chat room right now, and that is, by the way, the other way to get in touch. And really, it's me, and it's Spook Central, and that's about it. And then there's a bunch of bots in there, and Antibert was in here at some point, but he's grayed out, and indicating he has stepped away from the computer. And yeah, so really, I'm broadcasting to Spook Central tonight. That's how it ends up playing out. Of course, you will hear this on replays. You will hear this in podcast form. You will hear this in other ways. But nonetheless, right now, when it counts, 661-349-8255. There you go. It is a Sunday night here on the program, and Sunday nights I will usually tell you about movies that I have seen over the weekend. I will usually I might tell you the box office, and look at this. I'm getting a call in already from a 330 area code. I don't know where that is. I would like to know where that is. 330 area code, you are on the air.
330, hey Dan, this is your buddy Bob in Cuyahoga Falls at your affiliate station MRAM 1500.
Hey Bob, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. The skies have dried up. The stars are shining.
Excellent, excellent.
Father's Day.
Yes,
it is.
What
else can I say?
Right, right. Enjoying a good night. Are you a father yourself, Bob?
I am. I have three adult children, 40, 37, and 36, I think, or 34. You know, okay. How dads are. We don't remember that stuff.
Yeah, I do know that. Well, happy Father's Day to you, sir.
Well, thank you. I just called to tell you that I was listening when you tried to call your dad. So if you need somebody to vouch for you, I'm there.
Great. I just might need it. I'm telling you. It just might come up. Why didn't you call? Sorry, Dad. You should have moved to Nicaragua. What can I tell you?
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. All right, Bob. I certainly appreciate getting the backup there. I could use it a little, you know, once in a while.
All right. Well, we're recording, so you'll be on replay here tonight at midnight.
All right. Excellent. Well, happy Monday to everybody listening over there on Cuyahoga Falls.
There you go. All right, Dan.
All right, Bob. You have a good one, sir.
All right, sure. Thanks,
Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bob is one of the nicest gentlemen that I have come across in doing this internet radio business, by the way. I'm very proud, and I'm very, very happy with my affiliation with... I'm going to have to go there one day. One of these days, I'm going to have to make a trip just so I can look at the falls. I want to see the Cuyahoga Falls. One of these days, I will go up there and do such a thing. Till then, I will sit here in beautiful South Florida. I happen to be in Boca Raton and talk about movies and television. And what else am I going to do? What else was I going to talk about? I can't even remember. I was going somewhere. I had told you how to call in. I forget. Oh, I was telling you what I was going to do. That's right. I will review movies tonight. I may do the box office if I need it. If I need it. These little segments that I have are a wonderful crutch to help get me through the hour at times. So no, I usually like to do the box office on Monday when it's been finalized, when they've gone ahead and said, okay, this is exactly what the numbers are. So if I tell you that a movie made $15 million today, tomorrow you'll find out it made $15.1 or it made $14.85. It'll be, you know, we go from estimates to actuals, things change, blah, blah, blah. But enough of that. That's not all that exciting, or even all that interesting. Spook Central, in the chat room, confesses that he has no life. I don't really want to know that the reason that you listen to my show is that you have no life. I'm hoping that you're just that enthralled. I know that everybody down here in South Florida, for example, is watching the Miami Heat. Miami Heat is playing the OKC Thunder right now in the NBA Finals. I also know that this means that Erin, the lovely Erin, who calls in from... Well, she checks into the chat room from time to time and might post something nice on my Facebook wall. You should do that, by the way. You should post things on my Facebook wall. She will also be watching that as well. So there's another listener I can't count on. What's going on in that game? Fourth quarter, Heat is up by one, 76-75. Oh, it's another nail-biter. Goodness gracious. All right. Anyway, nobody wants to hear about any of that stuff. Let's see. Let's try to get back on track here. Let's talk about some movies, and let's talk about the ones that I saw over the weekend, because I did go to the cinema a number of times. And I have seen, seen a movie that came out this weekend. I saw one that came out last weekend, and I saw one that came out, I believe, 2 weekends ago. So, there you have it. Now you're all prepped and ready to roll. So let's go ahead and talk about things in terms of most relevant to least relevant, which is really, and in all honesty, most radio shows would do it the other way around. They want you to stick around. They say, oh, no. We're going to tell you about the least relevant thing, so this way you'll listen at least until I get to the most relevant thing. It's a bunch of hogwash, I say, and I will instead jump right into my review of Rock of Ages. You know you were waiting for me to go ahead and hit this, weren't you? Well, based on the box office report, you've probably not been waiting for anybody to talk about this because you're not even bothering to see this movie. Here we have Rock of Ages from director Adam Shankman, who gave you Hairspray about 5 years ago. He's back with another Broadway musical brought to the big screen. One that was partially filmed here in South Florida, amusingly enough to myself. What is Rock of Ages? Well, it's a fairly... The basics of the story is, you know, pretty cliche, musical, Hollywood, Broadway nonsense. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl in the end. And, you know, not that way in the end. What you have is a gal named Sherry, and she shows up in 1987 Los Angeles, and she starts hanging out at the Bourbon, which is the big rock club. Think, I guess, CBGBs for all of you people here on the East Coast. I don't know what the big rock club actually was out in Los Angeles, but I'm sure you folks out there would know. Anyway, she shows up and she starts hooking up with one of the guys who's a bartender there by the name of Drew. Drew works there, and he tends bar and throws out the garbage and does all of that sort of stuff. And Sherry, why, she's just a fresh-faced gal from Oklahoma. Oh, she's probably rooting for the Thunder tonight. Anyway, she shows up, and the two of them hook up, and next thing you know, love is in the air, right? Now, things are not going so great for the rock club, the Bourbon. Sure, it's a famous and infamous place all at the same time, and all kinds of legendary acts have passed through there, but run by Alec Baldwin, playing a character by the name of Dennis Dupree. Well, he's looking at the receipts, and boy, oh boy, he's got tax issues, he's got all kinds of issues, and not to mention, there's a whole conservative group out there that's looking to shut the club down. Bunch of buttoned-up ladies, led by Catherine Zeta-Jones, who happens to be the mayor of Los Angeles' wife. Goodness gracious. But if there's anything that can save everybody, it's an appearance by legendary rocker Stacey Jacks, played by, of all people, Tom freaking Cruise. Yes, that's right. We're going to take a legendary hair band style rocker, and we're going to put Tom Cruise in that role. And I don't know if anybody noticed this, but Tom Cruise just turned 50 the other day. All right. So how does this all shake out? Musically speaking, they go ahead and they grab a bunch of songs that you already know. Yeah, you're going to know the Whitesnake songs and the Def Leppard songs and, I don't know, all the other crap I had to sit through, Poison. And I got to say, on one hand, I did enjoy the movie. I did have a mostly good time watching the film. On the other hand, I did have a number of issues with it. Now, really, the whole thing is just, they're just trying to have, you're just supposed to have a good time at this musical. You're not supposed to think it's the greatest musical ever. They're clearly not going for anything wonderful or unbelievably artistic or anything like that. None of that happens, okay? And they're not aiming for that. You know, the tagline should be, and I don't know if it may be, nothing but a good time. And they certainly sing that song in it. And I gotta tell you, it really comes close to that. It really does. Here's my problem. My problem lies in the fact that the basic story, the main characters of Sherry and Drew, are so cornball and so cliche and I had this conversation with someone who said to me, it's Broadway, it's a musical, it's supposed to be corny and cliche. And I say, yeah, there's a difference between when it's done good and when it's not that good. And I gotta tell you, the guy who's playing Drew, this Diego Boneta, and I'll be honest, I don't know Diego Boneta from the San Diego Chicken. I don't recognize him from anything. I don't know that I've ever seen him in anything before. This guy has zero presence in this movie to me. This guy was so unbelievably flimsy, he was a near black hole in the film. I just didn't like him, I just didn't buy him, and maybe that's my biggest problem with this entire film. Julianne Hough playing Sherry, she's better, she's not much, much better, but she is better than he is. So anytime the movie went ahead and focused on him, I felt myself just waiting for the scenes to be over. You know, he seemed a little on the whiny side. He seemed a little, just a little weak. Yeah, I think that's the proper word here, is weak. Now, shockingly enough, if we were to take those characters and put them far in the background, and instead we focused on all of the other characters, we focused on mega superstar Stacey Jacks and his weaselly manager played by Paul Giamatti, and we focused on club owner played by Alec Baldwin and his flunky played by Russell Brand, well, then we'd really, really have something that was a good time. Because I'm going to tell you something. Oh, and also, yeah, and if we had a little more of the Catherine Zeta-Jones. Because her character and her storyline, and she's the... really, the villain of the movie. She's trying to shut the club down. She hates the rock and roll music and what it's doing to everybody. But, unfortunately, her character is really in the background and only pops up sporadically. It's almost an afterthought, it seems. Well, we gotta have a bad guy in the movie. Well, let's go ahead and drum up this button-down lady who's the mayor's wife who wants to clean up the streets of Los Angeles. She wants to clean up the strip! Best of all, though, best of all, and I should know by now to not doubt Tom Cruise. I should know. It's so easy to doubt him because we all think of him jumping on couches and acting like an ass. However, this guy nails this role so well. If I'm casting this movie and I'm looking and I've got this legendary rocker, Stacey Jacks, and they talk about him over and over again throughout the movie, and I'm looking to cast somebody as this character, Tom Cruise doesn't even make my short list. He doesn't even make my long list. But somehow, somebody thought to stick him in this movie, and it's the best thing in the film. When he's in the movie, and keep in mind, he is not the lead, the movie really works. Really works. However, his character is limited pretty much to the second act of the movie and sporadically in the third act. In fact, once he leaves, once the second act ends and we're hitting that third act, I was thinking that we weren't even going to see him again. And I only thought he was going to be popping up at the end of the movie. I should also point out, I did not see this in the most ideal of situations. As I'm watching the film, I would say maybe a quarter of the way through, the projector stops, cuts out. Yeah. House lights come on, people start coming out and apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry, there's a problem, blah, 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 blah. We're working on it. We had a power outage up in the booth there, but we're going to fix it. We're really sorry, blah, 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 blah. 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes go by, and I think we were around 20 to 25 minutes before it came back. And when it comes back, it's not where we left off. It is far into the movie. And they had to rewind. But not before I saw a scene. And then they rewound it to a point where it still wasn't the right point. Still, I saw another scene out of context. Then we rewound past where I had watched. So I had to rewatch some of the scenes again. But that was okay, because I was willing to take whatever I could get to get it right at this point. So, perhaps that plays in. I don't think so. I think I'm able to separate the experience that I had from my judgment of the movie, which, by the way, is it's a, what do I give this? I'll tell you what. It's a C+. Mm-hmm. C plus for Tom Cruise, for Baldwin, for Brand, for Zeta Jones, for everybody else, for Mary J. Blige, who shows up as a strip club owner in the world's cleanest strip club, by the way. But yeah, Diego Boneta and Julianne Hough, you get an I for incomplete. And I'm going to be very generous about that. Although, again, I will point out scenes from Rock of Ages where they are at the Hollywood sign were shot on a landfill in South Florida. Mm-hmm. That's right. A landfill. I don't know if they were being ironic with that choice. And I have no idea why a movie where the movie company is based in Los Angeles would go all the way to South Florida to find a landfill to stick a Hollywood sign on top of. And they have two lengthy scenes that take place at the Hollywood sign. But hey, it's not for me to judge these things, because it did look good. I said, boy, that is the best that landfill has ever looked. And look at that. It looks out over Los Angeles in this movie. Right now, it's looking out over the Florida Turnpike and Sample Road. Ah, the magic of Hollywood. Okay. So there you go. That was the most relevant thing that's out there, because it came out this weekend. And it gets a C+. More relevant, or I should say less relevant, would be your box office champion from last week. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted. And there's something about the characters of Madagascar that are very likable and very fun. And as soon as I see them in the trailer, I think, oh, I love seeing these guys. But then if I think about the movies, if I think about Madagascar, it's really the penguins that are funny in that first one. And it's really the penguins that are funny in the second one. The second one had that whole deal where they go to Africa, they go from Madagascar to Africa, and Alex the lion ends up running into his father, and he has all of these father-son issues, and is he living up to being blah, 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 blah. And it's really not that much fun of a movie. And you kind of say, who wrote this? This is a cartoon movie for children? I don't think so. So I kept this in mind going into Madagascar 3, that even though when I see the light and cute and fun characters that they have, that they've created, I also remind myself, well, don't be surprised if you're going to be disappointed with this particular film. However, Madagascar 3 is not just fun, not just the best, and not just better than its two predecessors. It's hysterically, really, enjoyably funny, funny movie. Absolutely had a good time. And what's impressive is they maintained the fun and funny from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. No small feat. The idea here is that our friends from Madagascar are in their attempt, their never-ending attempt, it seems, to get home to the Central Park Zoo, to get home to New York. Well, they end up in Monte Carlo and then kind of traipsing all throughout Europe. Hot on their tail is a, I don't know, I guess somebody from Animal Control? I guess that's what that is? I guess that's what you have? Somebody, there's a woman from Animal Control. She's voiced by Frances McDormand. She's out to get, she's absolutely obsessed with catching Ben Stiller's Alex the Lion, because then she will get a lion head to put on her wall amongst all of the other heads that she has hanging up there. And boy, oh boy, you've got a lot of characters hanging out in this movie. Well, Ben Stiller is Alex, and Chris Rock is Marty, and David Schwimmer is Melman, and Jada Pinkett Smith is Gloria, and those are your main characters. And Sacha Baron Cohen and Cedric the Entertainer and Andy Richter, and Jessica Chastain shows up, and so does Bryan Cranston, and so does Martin Short. It's just, yeah, it's a lot of people, a lot of characters. So, the guys from Madagascar, they're all on the run, which is your four main characters, plus the four penguins, plus two monkeys, and they end up hooking up with a circus, and they say, you know what, actually, our circus, we're auditioning for somebody, Once we get to London, and if that goes well, we're all going to get a contract to tour the United States, starting with New York, which is, of course, where our heroes want to go. So what do? You join the freaking circus. That's what you do. Ah, yes. And let me tell you, circus shenanigans do ensue, and they are all kinds of fun. I'm telling you. I don't know what else to really say about the movie. It doesn't have a lot of depth. It doesn't have a lot of weight to it. It does... It is just really fun and really funny. And yes, as Spook Central is saying in the chat room, Afro Circus. polka dot, Afro. Yeah. That does happen in the movie. And then there's a remix version of it in the movie. And it's hard not to like... the Chris Rock zebra dressed up with a big circus afro and painting himself in polka dots and singing that silly song. And it does get in your head for the rest of the night. But anyway, the point here is that right now the box office gold that Madagascar 3 is turning in right now, I feel good about this because it is indeed a very good movie and you should go and take your children to go see it. So, yes, Madagascar 3 gets a very solid A- out of me. Maybe if it had a little more weight to it, it would, you know what, it's hard because it's not really trying to do that. I kind of felt like it was, the second film was trying to make me feel something when it came to Alex and his father issues. Haha, Father's Day. But this movie, you know, there is the story of the tiger. There's a angry Russian tiger voiced by Bryan Cranston who needs to overcome some things to get back to where he once was in the world. And I guess you could call that having a little bit of weight. I don't know. But anyway, there you have it. Madagascar 3 with a very solid A- out of me. Good deal. I don't just go ahead and toss those around. All right, hang on a second. Whoa. Hold everything, because Kennelly has joined the chat room. Hello. I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong? Yes, I think I did. It's, oh my goodness, Kalat Ali. Yeah. Kalatali. That's what it is. Okay, let's try this again. Hello, Kalatali. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to the program, Kalatali. I am so glad that you decided to tune in tonight. Of course, I am presuming that Kalatali is a female. I'm crossing my fingers on that. And if you are a female and you feel like calling in, hey, 661-349-8255. All right, now, I'm sorry about that. Back to the program, back to the show, back to the matters at hand. Now for the final movie that I will review this evening. The final one that I saw this weekend, I saw it today, and it is the least relevant movie because it's been out for 3 whole weeks. But it's doing solid business. It's Snow White and the Huntsman. That's right. The wife would not let me not see Snow White and the Huntsman. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, and I'm going to look it up right now, that this has very average to mediocre reviews right now. I'm pretty sure. Oh, see that? Kalatali left. I needed to say hello to her. I should have typed it into the chat room. Maybe she was not listening. There we go. Let's see. Snow White and the Huntsman is... it is 48% fresh. Not very fresh at all, by the way. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Under the 50 percentile, that's not a good mark. Sorry about that, Snow White and the Huntsman, because honestly, you deserve better. It's not great, Snow White and the Huntsman. I'll tell you that. It's not great. Here's what you have, okay? You have another story. We already had a Hollywood retelling of Snow White, but here we go. Here we've got an evil queen, and she marries the husband, the grieving, newly widowed father of Snow White, and then quickly kills his ass off and takes over the kingdom. Her, and I don't know, but here we're introduced to a brother of the evil queen who runs around with a pageboy haircut. And she has all kinds of ridiculous powers that are really quite undefined. We know that she deals in magic, so she can do this and she can do that. But the one thing she can't seem to do is stay young-looking. Yeah, she seems to age every so often. So, you know, she's got to suck out the youth from some young girl every so often just to keep herself looking wonderful. And she does look wonderful, by the way, because she's played by Charlize Theron. So anytime she goes ahead and ingests someone and looks young again, like I feel good. It's like, oh, thank goodness. You were looking a little old there, Charlize. Please, let's not let that happen, because you're really quite the lovely gal. Now, on the other hand, Snow White, the cast-out princess, Snow White, she's roaming around the dark forest, so the queen needs to eat her heart in order to stay young forever. You know what? You wouldn't have to suck out all of these girls if you just went to Snow White and took it from her. You took her heart, that's it. Then you're done. And then you'd float in the air and you'd reign supreme. I don't know what would happen. But I know it wouldn't be good for everybody. That much I was able to figure out. So she sends in the huntsman, played by Chris Hemsworth, or as I like to think of him, Thor. Like, the whole time, it was just Thor. Go get him, Thor! Where's your hammer? Instead, he's got an axe the whole time. I don't know where. I guess he's just always going to have some sort of giant tool in movies. That didn't sound right. Giant tool. What's the matter with me? Anyway. So... So the huntsman goes out, and of course he quickly realizes that the evil queen is just a pain in the ass, and he should probably be hanging out with Snow White. So he's off to deliver her to whatever is left of the original good kingdom that was there, that's now exiled out somewhere. And once he gets her out there, she can hang out with them, and they can decide what they're going to do about this whole evil queen business. Along the way, there's a troll to be dealt with. There's a bunch of dwarves that you're going to hang out with. There's all kinds of fun and shenanigans. But I will tell you one thing that I found impressive about the movie is that it was interesting the entire time. I was into it the whole movie. And it's a movie that's way out of my wheelhouse. I am not a fantasy person at all. I am not a fairy tale person. None of that stuff really appeals to me too much. But this movie was able to hold my interest and keep it. And you know what? There's got to be something said for that. You know, Theron knocks it out of the park as the evil queen. She's way over the top like she's supposed to be. Kristen Stewart is fine as Snow White. I mean, I've seen her be very good. I thought she's very good in Adventureland. I think she's very good in The Runaways. And I know everybody doesn't like Kristen Stewart because she's in those god-awful Twilight movies. I don't like those movies as well, but it's not her fault that they stink. And it's not her fault that, you know, her character is one note and lame. But here, she's good. She's not great. She's not anything to get excited about. And Chris Hemsworth is about as good here as he is in Thor, which means, I don't know, he just has to show up and start kicking ass and throwing axes around and speaking with a British accent, and he gets away with whatever's going to be going on. Now, overall, again, with a solid movie, it's exciting, it's fun, it kept me interested the entire time, and the two ladies I was with absolutely loved it, if that means anything at all. So Snow White and the Huntsman gets a very solid B. Ah, there we go. So there you go. Three movies, three reviews, I wash my hands of it all. Now let's see, do we have any interesting things to discuss for the next 20 minutes or so? You know what I should do is check on that heat score, because I will admit that even though I'm born in New York, I am kind of curious here. Heat is up 88 to 85 with 16 seconds to go. Holy schmoly. Wow. So I guess the next time I check, that thing will be over, right? Maybe. All right, so there was another nutty rumor on the internet about Lionsgate planning to reboot Twilight. I love this story. This was great. According to bloodydisgusting.com, Lionsgate is already working on a Twilight reboot, even though the original series hasn't finished yet, because there is that Breaking Dawn Part 2. And if you recall, Breaking Dawn, it's one book, but they went ahead and broke it into two movies because they wanted to get it all in there, or because they said, wow, this whole series is almost over and we just started it in 2008. We made these movies way too fast. And for us here at Lionsgate, this thing is a ridiculous cash cow. So while I could totally see, yeah, let's reboot it, I still think you gotta wait. I still think you gotta wait. And as it turns out, Lionsgate has already gone ahead and said, no, we're not rebooting it. Stop it already. We're hooked up with Summit Entertainment, and they're already milking that Hunger Games business, so we should be fine until we find some other, you know, teen book stuff to pilfer to turn into some franchise. So don't worry about it. We're not going to redo Twilight. Eventually, maybe, but not now. Good for you, Lionsgate, by the way. Good for you to resist the overwhelming desire to reboot that nonsense. I mean, the end is coming soon. And it is. I mean, 2008, what are we talking? 4 years ago? And we're already at our fifth movie? That's pretty quick that it's all over. Granted, you made $1 billion out of it, but still, that's a lot. All right, moving on to other things, other more cheerful things, I would imagine. Let's see, what have we got going on here? I don't know. Some people are going to be excited about this. Some people are going to be happy that the Ninja Turtles reboot movie has been delayed. Yes, yes. Now, I didn't even realize that was Paramount Pictures that was making this. So keep in mind, I gave you a big detailed report about World War Z. That's a Paramount picture. That had to be delayed because of all of the problems that they're having, all of the outrageous budget issues that they're having, and the fact that the movie stinks and they have to redo the third act and do 5 weeks of reshoots to make it not stink. That's a problem. Then there's also the story about how they took G.I. Joe and pushed it back where it was going to be released in about a week and a half from now or so. And they said, no, we're pushing that all the way back to next March. Next March is when we're going to have this thing out. Well, why is that? We're going to convert it to 3D. We're going to put more Channing Tatum in it. And allegedly, it stinks. And we saw us going down in flames like John Carter and like Battleship, and we don't want to go out like that. So here we have a third movie coming in and now going out. It was, now the Ninja Turtles reboot was going to be released next year, next December, a year and a half away. But now they have to move that thing all the way back to May of 2014? They got to move it back 6 whole months? Ay, Dios mío. Apparently, it's in order to address script issues. I am no Ninja Turtle aficionado or really fan. They exist. It's fine. Whatever. Right? They're making another version of the Ninja Turtles. Good for them. But then a few things started coming out where they were going to be changing some of the things. Oh, well, actually, they're not really going to be mutants. There's an outer space element that's going to be put in there. Wait a minute. You can't make them. That would make them aliens. They're not aliens. They're mutants. They're mutated ninjas. They're mutated turtles who become ninjas. I'm sorry. Don't want to get a bunch of people upset at me. Bunch of people were pissy about this sort of thing. Always love that. Always love to see people pissy about this sort of thing. So, anyway. Now, I guess somebody looked at the script and said, wait a minute, this thing stinks. You can't have them as aliens. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. They're not, and honestly, they're not saying. They're not going to sit there and tell you, oh yeah, by the way. But here's what we do know. The movie's been shut down, and it's been moved back. And the word is, there's not even a guarantee that it ever gets made. It's shut down for now. They're moving it back. They're addressing script issues. And either they get resolved, or they don't get resolved, and they move on to something else. My personal advice to Paramount Pictures would be, move on to something else, because I personally have no interest in a Ninja Turtles movie. I don't care how faithful you are or unfaithful you are to their origin, to their anything. Just the whole thing's a pass for me. Thank you very much. Thank you for thinking of me. It's a pass. Anyway, this has not stopped Robbie Wrist, you know, Cousin Oliver. He voiced one of the Ninja Turtles, and, you know, he was on the live test show once, so he's my Facebook friend. I don't know if he actually knows who I am. But I did see him declaring victory on his Facebook now that this movie has shut down. Yes, thank goodness! We've stopped the evil Paramount Pictures and producer Michael Bay, which is enough to get anybody pissy. You got Michael Bay going and, pissing in your pond. Next thing you know, it's going to be a problem. Speaking of problems, OKC has a problem. The Miami Heat has won 91-85. That is your final of Game 3 of the NBA Finals. The Miami Heat lead the series 2-1. All right, so with that done, and my Ninja Turtle story done, move on to some other things here. Let's see, what have we got? No, I already did that. Okay, all right. So somebody out there, Brian Grazer and Ron Howard, those two, they hang out together. And they have this company, it's called Imagine Entertainment. And they went ahead and they just hired a guy by the name of Noah Oppenheim to adapt 1984, the George Orwell classic book, for the big screen. Does that, if you're going to do that in 2012, are you changing that title? Is it still taking place in 1984? And we're just calling it an alternate universe or something? I mean, everybody knows 1984 now. It's takes place in the future of 1984 with the whole Big Brother and totalitarian society that we have, blah, blah, blah. Now, I do remember the 1984 version of 1984. And boy, oh boy, what a snoozer. John Hurt, and I want to say, is it Richard Burton's last movie? 1984? I think it might be. And he, by the way, is fantastic, but it takes, I don't know, 3/4 of the movie for him to show up. But man alive, that movie seems so cheap and so boring. Holy crap. But anyway, so we're going to get another version of 1984 because you could redo the classics as many times as you want and no one's going to complain about it. 1984 tells the story of a man named Winston Smith who works for the Ministry of Truth in a totalitarian country called Oceania. His job involves rewriting history put out by news copy and changing photographs to reflect what the government wanted its populace to believe at the time. How frustrating is all of that, huh? There you have it. 1984 is coming back for, I don't know, 2013, 2014. I'm guessing you probably keep that title. I'm guessing you do, because this way everybody knows what it is. 1984. I think that's what it is. Now I'm getting in the chat room that I'm pissy about Ninja Turtles. Actually, I'm really indifferent about Ninja Turtles. I don't really care for them. But I will tell you this. If Paramount Pictures is going to say, hey, Dan, we're going to make 10 movies this year, I would say, okay, what's your list of movies? And then they would show it to me, and I would see, oh, the Ninja Turtles is on there. I'm not going to watch that. Maybe they'll replace it with something that I will watch. But I'm not pissy about it. I'm not frustrated that they exist. I was frustrated in 1991, I want to say March or April of 1991, I think it was March, when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, came out, and my brother, Eric, was going out with a gal, and she and her little brother wanted to go see that movie, so I got dragged along for the ride, and I ended up seeing it, and it was pretty terrible. I don't know if anybody remembers, but at one point, the Ninja Turtles break into a club where there is a performance going on by Vanilla Ice. And he starts then performing the ninja rap. Mm-hmm. That happens in a movie that was in the theaters that I saw. Vanilla Ice, Ninja Turtles, ninja rap. Think about that. Okay. So anyway, I am moving on to something else. let's see. Where was I? Oh, yes, 1984. 1984, yeah, you're going to have to use that title. I think so. Keep that recognition. It's in a Oceania. It's a whole other world. It's a whole other society. This way you go ahead and you throw that title out there and everybody gets impressed. Oh, it's 1984. Oh, I know what that is. I had to read that in the 10th grade. Yeah. Warner Brothers and Paramount competing to develop a Splinter Cell movie. I have never played any of these Splinter Cell games, but who knows? Maybe they're wonderful. Warner Brothers and Paramount are competing for the rights to developing a film off the popular video game series Splinter Cell. According to Deadline.com, the studios are in talks with the video game maker Ubisoft, or Ubisoft? I don't know. That sounds like a diss. Hey man, Ubisoft. Which means that the movie will be based off the games rather than the Tom Clancy novels that inspired the series. Paramount is apparently the front runner because, hey, you know what? They did so well with that Jack Ryan stuff. They're already in the Tom Clancy business. Now, I haven't read any of the Splinter Cell books, that's for damn sure. And I also haven't played any of the games. But anytime I see an ad for one of these games, they look fun. They look interesting, I suppose, you know? Apparently, though, Ubisoft is determined to have more control because, they make that game Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, which was turned into that movie, which didn't do particularly well, didn't turn out very well. So they're out there to say, hey, listen. You know, they're going all Marvel on it. We want to be very involved when it comes to the making of our video game properties and make sure that it's done properly. I know that people don't like the idea, some people I should say, of the video game adaptation. I don't have a problem with this at all. I don't really care where good, fun, exciting, interesting movies come from as long as they continue to make them. So is the idea that a video game like Splinter Cell, could that be made into a good movie? Probably. Why not? I'm totally, if they make a movie based on Uncharted, I'm totally in favor of that because I've played one of those games and it was fantastic. I hope they make one based off, oh goodness, see that? I can't remember what it's called. I played it all last summer. Infamous. There you go. That's what it is. Infamous. Oh man, Dude Huge is so disappointed I could not remember that name. Anyway, but yes, Infamous was a fantastic freaking video game, right? I thought so, at least. Infamous 2, so unbelievably fun. If they want to go ahead and make a movie based on that, yes, do it tomorrow. I'm totally in favor of it. Please, bring it on. So first, go ahead, get your Splinter Cell business done, get it out of your system, and then move on to the games that I've actually played. Why don't you do that? Where's the Ms. Pac-Man game? Because I played that a bazillion times. Please. Okay. Now, where are we? I think we are at a time is where we are. Because I don't have time to do a proper version of the box office. I guess I should toss out the fact that everybody watched this Highwire act. Everybody see this on ABC? Nick Wallenda, he walked a Highwire over Niagara Falls. Went from the U.S. into Canada and got huge ratings. I didn't even notice until I was on Twitter and I noticed everybody was tweeting about this. And a lot of people were talking about how lame it was because, quite honestly, it seemed quite lame. I saw pictures of this and the guy is walking across. And by the way, I can't really diss it too much because that's a nutty, crazy thing to do, walk across the Niagara Falls on a wire. But he seemed like he was tethered to the wire. Like there was a wire going from the main wire around his ankle or something like this. And I'm thinking, how difficult is this? How dangerous is it? I want there to be the element of death. Isn't that what we want? Maybe this guy's going to die because there's all of that wind whipping around. When's he going to walk across the Cuyahoga Falls? That's what I want to know. But anyway, yes, apparently it did very, very good business as far as ratings go. 10.1 million viewers. Went ahead and logged in and checked that nonsense out. So congratulations to yourselves. Anyway, I am out of time. I want to thank everybody out there for tuning in. Even if you tuned in late, just like the lovely Katie Starian. Hello, Katie. Thank you for checking me out. The show, that is. Anyway, back again tomorrow with box office and other fun, nonsensical stuff. With that, say goodnight, Dan Delgado. Good night, Dan Delgado. This one.
Yamma, 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 yamma. Whoopee-doo, Scooby-Doo, and gobbledygook.